Jacob was in a place in the middle of nowhere where he had to sleep on a stone. And here he was surprised to learn that God was there. Nathanael had just been informed that Jesus was the Son of God, the one that Moses and the law and the prophets had been talking about, from a place called Nazareth, an out-of-the-way place. Could anything good come from Nazareth, an out-of-the-way place in the middle of nowhere? Turns out, yes. Yes, God was active there. What we're dealing with here is a matter of awareness. Nathanael, Jacob, was not aware of the immensity of what God was doing and can do, and the possibilities when one chooses to believe and to see God in action. This whole matter brings up the topic of angels. Angels is a fascinating topic. I believe that angels are agents of God. They're sort of proxies of God. It's not an essential belief that we believe in angels. It's not something that's a part of the creeds. Part of the creeds traditionally has to do with God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, church, maybe. But there's nothing in there that says, I believe in angels. Yet universally, we as Christians more or less kind of believe in angels, don't we? They're all over the Bible. Historically, when they were described in biblical texts, they were described kind of like young men dressed in white robes that shone. Whenever they appeared, something great would happen, maybe. The jails would break open in Acts, right? Jesus' empty tomb, Mary and the women were scared. Often angels, when they appeared, people were scared to see them. Jacob later on wrestled with what's described as an angel. Angels sometimes carry God's judgment, God's destruction, even a plague in Exodus, Sodom and Gomorrah, a message. Translated, angels are messengers, according to Greek and Hebrew, messengers. Gabriel literally means a messenger. A messenger. Sometimes they're charged with specific tasks to do. Revelation is full of angels doing various things, blowing trumpets, breaking open seals of scrolls. After the Bible had been written, and when Christianity had been absorbed into the Roman Empire, angels began to take on wings. Before that, they had not been described as winged creatures, except that they were in the sky in Luke, singing praises to God. Not necessarily with wings, but here we think of angels nowadays as having wings. And also, Roman influence was they took on sort of feminine qualities as well. So they're kind of asexual. They're sort of beyond man or woman, some sort of higher existence. Hebrews says that, the book Hebrews says that the angels are a step above us in sort of a hierarchy that God has established. They've entered into our entertainment industry. Remember the show Highway to Heaven? I enjoyed that very much. Also Touched by an Angel, popular show about a decade ago on CBS. Angels, literally guardian angels, would come to the earth and help humanity out in some sort of task, some difficulty, somebody in transition, somebody that was struggling, somebody who needed to see something a little bit differently. They'd send Michael Landon and his buddy. It's kind of a neat concept. We could talk about what angels are, but really the root of our story is what the angels are doing. is really at the heart of it. And what are they doing in this Jacob story? Going up and down a ladder, ascending and descending. What are they doing? Well, I read several interpretations from Judaism to Christianity to Muslim, because Muslims are an Abrahamic faith. They have angels in their stories as well. According to a Jewish interpretation, one of the interpretations is that the angels ascending were taking the burdens and the concerns of the people up to heaven, and when they descended down, they were taking the compassion and the power of God back down to the people. It's a great image, isn't it? It's a great concept to think of. Carrying up, bringing the burdens up, and then carrying and bringing God's grace and power down. Lifting up the negative, bringing down the positive to the earth. Something we feel that God does, right? God turns the burdens of the poor, the oppressed, into something that is blessed, something that is positive, something that is life affirming. Offers it freely to us, freely. To all who ask, to all who cry out to be adopted as children of God. How many times has this happened in our lives? What is our experience of this? Shouldn't we be more aware if we have experienced God's power in this way? Our burdens lightened, blessings raining down upon us. Why is it so hard to believe that God is not in places where there's darkness and where there's struggle? In our text from John, Jesus surprises Nathanael by telling him that he saw him under a fig tree when he was talking to his brother Philip. And based on that, Nathanael suddenly gets excited and says, "You're the Son of God." That's all he needed. Jesus displaying some sort of clairvoyant power from God. And that's all Nathanael had to go on. And he declares him the Messiah, King. And Jesus, of course, says that you'll see much greater things than this. Angels descending and descending upon the Son of Man, which, of course, is Jesus himself. And for us Christians, Jesus rightly becomes the center of our faith. Angels are at the peripheral. There's a reason why Jesus takes up a such big of a paragraph in our creed of "I believe." It's through him now that represent this gateway to heaven. It's through him where our burdens are lighted and the blessings of God come to us. If we had guardian angels in our life, people that have lightened the load, people like Margie, who have been a guardian angel for people and her husband John, where can we find people like that more? Well, could we be in those places? Could we be guardians for somebody? Could we be agents of mercy and grace? Could we lighten the load? Could we help carry it a little bit for them? Will we dare to be yoked with somebody that is struggling, somebody who needs this experience? This experience. Getting even more to the point of my message, and where I want to focus primarily on, is where God is working. Where is God working? In the middle of nowhere, God is working. Places like the wilderness, where Jacob did not expect to find a gateway to heaven. Angels descending. Places like Nazareth, where nothing good was said to come from Nazareth. Nothing. Nobody good was said to come from Nazareth. Maybe that's what people think of Galilee. What comes from Galilee? Well, let's make them question that. Plenty of good can come from here, in a place like this. I watched a documentary last night. I couldn't make my way through it, maybe a third. It was a documentary produced by HBO about Syria over the last couple years, beginning when the civil war started in Syria. Terrible, terrible stories. People being tortured in prison, being rounded up for simply spray painting on the wall. Children being killed and tortured. It would seem, when I was watching it, that Syria might seem like a God-forsaken place. Plenty of people there would affirm that. What good is happening in a place like that? North Korea, another quote-unquote God-forsaken place. There was a story about somebody who had been in North Korea, in a prison there, and the stuff that was going on in North Korea would just cause you to pause in disgust. Do we believe that God can act even in those remote places? What about experiences in our life when we were down and out? Maybe when we were in prison. Maybe when we were under the influence. Maybe when we were addicted to something, when we were not ourselves, when we were not made who we were made to be, when we were down and out in some way, when we were depressed, when we were going through the valley of the shadow of death, a dark tunnel with no light that we could see at the end of it. Maybe we felt like we were in a God-forsaken place, emotionally, spiritually. What about the hospital ICU unit? Those places can seem desperate as well. What about in the middle of a war? People with bullets flying over their heads in desperate situations, helping each other out. Many war stories will tell you of guardian angels, somebody who lifted them out of a ditch, literally brought them to safety when they were knocked cold. Was God there? Was God there? Better believe it, that God was there. You better believe that God was in all of those places. There's nowhere that God cannot reach. Psalm 139 says that even if we were in the pit of hell, the pit of Sheol, the worst place that we can imagine, God would be there with us. Even if we tried to go somewhere outside of God's reach, we could not. God is there. Be aware. Believe in the presence of God in the middle of nowhere during struggles in your life. When you're down and out, believe that God is there with you. Be open to experiencing that. The love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, where you are, despite whatever decision you had made, despite what level of sin you believe you're at, nothing can be overcome. Jacob was a trickster. Jacob was not someone who would be at the top of anyone's list of morality. He tricked his brother out of his blessing, stole what was rightfully his brother's. He lived not a very godly life, yet he was the one who was going to be blessed. God wishes to bless you regardless of your past. You could make it all clean. You could have it all go away. Believe it. Believe in that experience, that amazing experience that comes to places like Nazareth and sitting under a fig tree in an out-of-the-way place like Galilee, like Galilee. God is everywhere, in all ways, in all places. Let us sing in praise of this good news.